Hi, I'm Quentin D'Souza, and you're listening to Getting Started with Education REI. Create wealth, freedom, and security through real estate investing. Make sure to check out educationrei.ca. In this episode, I'm talking to a new member of Education REI, where we get them familiar with the material, find their goals, and direct them on where they can get started working toward those goals. Have a listen. Usually, like on these calls, I want to get a sense of what your experience of real estate investing is, what you've done to this point, and then see if I can help you and direct you to some content on Durham REI, and then hopefully give you a push forward, get you going. All right. So maybe just introduce yourself and tell me what you've done so far in real estate investing.
Okay. Thank you. So I came to Canada, first generation migrant from India, right?
Me too, man.
So 2006 is when I came here, but I was not a permanent resident. So I was more on a work visa. So working for a software company. So I got some early view into, what's happening in the real estate, et cetera, in Canada, because I was supporting one of the top five banks in Canada, building their mortgage approval credit decisioning system, right? So we were trying to automate it for the underwriters. So got some experience there. So that was my, interest kind of generated there. But I was doing more of a buy and hold strategy in India. While I was earning here, I was kind of having my family do some investing for me over there. So it was more buying land, holding, and then, selling it, buying a bunch of other, locations which are going to hit the boom. So that's how I have been using my funds I have been saving here. But then I got married in 2010. And then me and my wife decided to kind of, go for permanent residency here. So we thought, okay, Canada is our home. And then we kind of took our permanent residence. And then I started more shifting from my India-based real estate investing to Canada. And I had stocks as my default investment vehicle. So now I do understand the leverage we can get in the real estate compared to the stocks. So wanted to kind of do it. But my first step was home ownership. So I now have a home, and it's 5 years now. And now I am seriously starting to think about building, that journey so that we could march towards a financial freedom type of a situation, right? So both of me and my wife, we both are employed, and we have a good source of income. So we could, now we are at a point where we have some equity built at our home, plus, we have permanent jobs now. So we have backing of, to go after a loan with the bank. So we are now in the quest of going with our first step here in Canada in terms of going to an investment property. Again, not looking at a buy and hold strategy here. But yes, that would also be part of the strategy, but more to start with the first few properties, look at some cash flowing properties. Need some guidance in terms of, which location to look for, and more coming from, the ROI instead of buying a home in Toronto, which is kind of already in the peak, and then not expecting a cash flow and just wait for the appreciation. Or look at places like Windsor or somewhere outside where still the numbers make sense, and we could get some good cash flow going, so that slowly we get to that path towards our goal of financial freedom, right?
Awesome. I have some questions for you just to to get going. What was your experience in India when it came to real estate investing? What were your returns like? So give me some examples of like when you did the land plays. So you were doing buying, for example, the land play. You bought land for how much? How long did you hold it for? And what did you sell it for?
Okay. So so far I have not sold. I'm still holding, right, most of my portfolio there. But right now I am holding two plots there. A plot is, you know, one, we call it one ground there, which is like 40 by 60 feet. So it's 2,400 square feet lots. When I got them, it was around, in Indian rupees, it was 35 lakhs, which is 240,000, right? And then the current market value would be around 1 crore, I assume, right? So which is an appreciation of around 150% or something around that.
How long did you own it for?
Would be for like some 7 years.
7 years.
Right. So this is one. And then I have a couple of others, which is around 6 lakhs, 60,000. And then, which I
would, when did you buy the 60,000 one?
So that was around some 10 years ago.
And what is it worth now?
It might be appreciated, I would say, around the same percentage, around 150 to 200, somewhere around there.
So it's worth like 80, or sorry, it's worth like 180. 120 to 180?
120 to 180, something like that, yeah.
That's
a lot. So rest kind of, I kind of reconsolidated them, sold one and then bought like one here. And then, you know, and I do have some stocks both in India and over here, right? Mm-hmm. So now I'm in the process of, you know, since I'm being here and remotely managing there, it's becoming a problem. And I have some property management folks helping me there, since my parents are now getting into that age, aging factor is coming into play, right? So that's why I'm, and plus I have like two lovely daughters here and I want to kind of consolidate things over here. So I'm still yet to work out, you know, moving that capital, making the sale and then moving it over here. Okay. So that's the goal right now.
All right. And when you say financial freedom, what does that mean to you? Like, so, is there a number, like a monthly number? Is there like a net worth number? If you don't know, you need to know your number, right? Whatever financial freedom number is. So what is that?
So to me and my wife, to sustain the lifestyle, we are looking at something like 100K plus should be okay.
So 100K plus per year?
Per year.
And is that, so 100K plus would be about like 8,000 per month?
8,000 per month, yeah. Okay. So this will get us the lifestyle which we have. And obviously, while doing that, the freedom is more to do with the time and what we could do and the location we could be at. So that's more, you know, what we are looking forward for. But in terms of the lifestyle, we are not, you know, that much. We are kind of frugal people. So we are not that much into a lot of expenses. So the running cost of our family or whatever is in our bucket list, I think, you know, this is the base cost which we have agreed, me and my wife.
Okay, that's fine. So that's great that you have a number in mind. What do you have to invest with? Like, what's you've obviously you own a house and you've owned it for 5 years. So that means you've had the equity that you've built from the house. You both have good incomes, which is helpful. Okay. Do you have any other seed capital? So have you refinanced your property to, or at least access the line of credit from your principal residence so that you can invest?
Not yet. I am in the process of, I have reached out to I don't have like my power team yet. So this is something I am just doing my own research, and that's how I ended up, getting your reference through online. So that's what I'm looking forward for. So, you know, first leverage this equity and get my qualifying amount and, you know, what's my capacity, etc. And then you know, kind of come up with a plan.
All right. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to send you some a few references for banks and mortgage people that have work with members. I've got no affiliation with them. I'd get no kickbacks or anything like that. If you work with them or not, I don't care. But they are people that I know have worked well with members. And members have said that they like working with them. And the reason why I would suggest you do that versus just going to and asking them is that they can also help you position yourself so that you look good for financing for buying other properties. The difference is that somebody who's just working with you from just giving you access to funds versus somebody who's actually positioning you could be the type of mortgage product they put you in, with a lower payment because it looks good for your debt service ratio, you know, things like that. So that's why you want to work with somebody who has that experience. And so I'm happy to do that, which is what we do. We also have a Rolodex of contacts that you can look up. And in that Rolodex of contacts, you'll see other references, but I'll send you the ones that I think will be able to help you because you're getting started.
Sure.
Yeah. The other piece is that I know what your financial freedom number is. I know that let's say you have access, you don't know, but let's say you have access to 500K in equity. Okay. Would that be about right? Or?
Yeah, so it would be around 300 to 400. I think 300, I guess. Yeah, okay. 300 to 400.
Okay, and then do you have any additional funds that you would be interested in investing? Like, do you have funds set aside that you can use for investing?
I have a stock portfolio of around like 100K plus. I'm getting a good return over there. But depending upon the situation and the opportunity, you know, I could use that funds as well.
Okay, so let's think this through then. So you've got 500K and you want to create basically $8,000 a month for cash flow from your property. The key with this is to not just think about it as if you only have cash flow or a cash flow number that's there today. What will happen is that you'll find what as you're investing in property is that you'll end up with cash flow that starts off smaller but increases over time. So that's typical to Southern Ontario, just because we're in a rent controlled type of environment. You know, you may start off with something with $100 in cash flow, but 5 years from now, that $100 in cash flow could be closer to $400 or $500, right? Especially if you're turning over the units in between that time period. So that's important to keep in mind when you're building your plan in order to get to that number. Okay. The other piece is that you need to be careful. I know that a lot of people are moving all the way to this like far off places because the cash flow makes more sense to them. The thing is that cash flow helps you to hold on to an asset. But what really is going to make you money is the mortgage pay down and the capital appreciation of that product. Like that is what is going to actually make you the most amount of money. The cash flow will help you to hold on to the asset. And then over time, as you own that asset for a longer period of time, let's say 5 years, 10 years, then you can refinance the property. You can also use the cash flow to help support your income. Now, it's always going to depend on the number of properties that you're able to purchase. Even if like we were to get you into like four or five properties, that cash flow, let's say maybe $200, $300 a month, although it doesn't sound like a significant amount today, $1,500 to $2,000. If you're looking down the road and you're thinking, I'm holding on to this for 10 years, you'll be able to get the numbers that you're thinking of. It's just you have to have a longer term mindset. There's too much of a day trading mentality when it comes to a lot of things, which is as true for real estate as it is for the stock market. If you have a longer term perspective, then you will do well. And the way that you do well is you invest in markets that are both appreciating and give you some cash flow. And that can be challenging, particularly in the GTA. Although that will give you the most appreciation, it's hard to find cash flow. The difference is that you can find cash flow is by doing different strategies and working privately, networking with other investors to find opportunities, maybe looking in areas along the 401 corridor. Maybe you go look at Cobourg, maybe you look at Kingston, maybe you look at Peterborough as options, where you're able to be in one of the courses that I want you to start off with is your first million in real estate. Okay, so that is in Education REI website, and that will give you some of the fundamentals that you want to be looking for when you're looking at all these markets. I mean, I can tell you different areas where other investors are working right now, which is those areas. There are other areas. I just find that you need to stay away from some of the smaller communities because what happens, and this is it's all cyclical, and the problem is that people are only looking at what they see right now and what people are telling them. But what happens is the smaller communities, they'll have like these big rushes of appreciation, right? And it can go on for 5, 10 years, but then they'll have flat periods. And people don't see the flat periods because they don't have a long enough memory to be able to see it. But if you look at the Niagara region or you look at other areas, you have 10 years of flat, no appreciation whatsoever. So you got to keep that in mind when you're looking at different types of investment property, not just cash flow. Okay. So, for example, if you were to try to look at maybe Curtis and Bowmanville, which is still within the GTA, you're seeing like waves of people moving out to those areas. That may be some opportunities, right? Where you have Peterborough, where you have people who are actually, funny enough, there's a lot of misconceptions about where people work and what they do. A lot of people who work in Oshawa live in Peterborough. It's
Yeah.
quite interesting. Another area is that's great is Kingston, like I mentioned, right? And you've got a lot of members who are investing out there. So, I can put you in contact with some realtors and different people. Again, I've got no at this point, I've got no there's nothing that benefits me from doing it. I don't mind connecting you with them, but you need to do the course first. Do your own research and then tell me, what area that you want a little bit of help in, and then I can give you some direction and help you with that. Okay. So it takes, but you need to do a little bit of the coursework first and then, come to me with that. The other thing is we have Q&A calls twice a month, right? The first one is for beginners. And that's a good one to ask any questions you have. If you have a deal you want reviewed, something like that, we can go through it at that call. And then we have that the next monthly meeting, which is will be March 10th, is a place that you can get some more information. When we're talking as a group, but the Q&A calls are really where you can get some networking help as well as just direct question and answer with me. Okay, but that should help you get started. With regards to accessing funds, you should definitely be refinancing at this point. At the very least, get a line of credit, a home equity line of credit, as a component of your mortgage so that the mortgage payment amount doesn't change, but you have access to the funds as a, secured line of credit. The only challenge that you have with that is sometimes banks will change their policies whether they accept the secured line of credit or not. Okay. But right now, most are. So I would suggest that you do that and you get that done quickly and get access to the line of credit. And then that way you have your options available while you're doing, that initial research. All right. So that should help you get going. Whether you decide to, whatever area that you decide to invest in is going to be, what will affect the number of properties that you start with. And then as you go along, you're going to want to look at like the joint venture course, which was like maybe you have other people that want to do the same thing as you, and you can help them by being the real estate expert. And you invest their money in a property, and then you own 50%, and they own 50%, but you're doing all the work. You're the active partner. Maybe, that grows into apartment buildings. Maybe, it grows into property management. Maybe you become a realtor. Maybe, there's a whole bunch of ultimate possibilities of what you can do. So you have to look at, go into the online site. Start going through the material. There's a goal setting course in there that would be helpful for you as well. And then there's a pyramid which explains how to position your wealth, right? Start with that. It's a great one to help you to get you going.
So I did complete the wealth pyramid, so thank you for that.
No
And
problem.
I did kind of do a look at the websites to see, where is what's where, etc., right? There are a couple of questions I had, a few things I was not able to find. To your point, I was trying to see about that location only. Right now I am all over the place in Ontario. I am looking at Windsor, Kitchener, Hamilton, and then obviously Durham, because I live in, so it's kind of, my sweet spot too, right? So when I was trying to look for that information, you did mention there are some reports, right? The only report I was able to find was 2016 Q2 report, which had some market findings specific to the Durham region. Is there any other place where such thing is there, or that's all web research I have to do outside of what's available here?
What I would suggest you do is you go back to the meetings and listen to the meeting recordings, because in the meeting recordings is where we talk about what's happening right now and what areas are working and what strategies are working, where people are buying. Those are the things that you really want to go in and listen to. Okay. Having like reports are only good like for a couple months, and that's it, and it's not even worth the amount of time that goes into them, because by the time you've written a report, they're almost out of they don't make sense anymore, right?
I was just looking to see if I'm not working on an outdated information and something changed. Given, COVID, a lot of things changed in the market, right? So that was where I was coming from.
Yeah, for sure. And there is lots of changes that happen. So the best thing to do is listen to the monthly videos, because those ones go through like what's happening now on the market, what's interesting, what's changed, and talks about different areas as well. So I mean, last month we talked about Kingston, we talked about London, we talked about different areas. So that's something that you're going to want to look at. The other, I invest in the US as well. So there's some material on that. So, it's always good to be listening into the monthly meetings, because that's where you'll get the what's happening now type thing. By the time a report is written, it's almost
Almost
like if
gone.
I read it, like give you an example. If I wrote a report on buying duplexes in, let's say Oshawa, last year I might have been writing them for 600,000. Now we're looking at it at 850,000 for that same property. One, it makes sense. The other one, it's very challenging, right? Numbers wise. So you have to actually go in and listen to the monthly videos, and that's why we keep doing them, is because things change so rapidly, and that's where you're going to now rather than doing like the reports, I find that the videos like on strategy is where you would be helpful. So if you're looking at, for example, we've got lots of stuff on rent to owns, on wholesaling, on joint venture partnerships, so what I would suggest is you focus on strategy and do the the first million in real estate and decide on area. right? And then listen to those monthly videos, and that'll help you.
Okay. And where can I find these monthly videos, Quentin?
So if you go to the vault, there's like, you know, it says start here, and then it says resources, and the next one it says the vault. Go into the vault, and then that's where all the monthly videos get posted. I think all the way back to 2013. But really, if you want to focus on areas, listen to the ones for the last like 2 or 3 months. That'll help you.
Yeah. So maybe, you know, it's too early right now. Once I start consuming this information, maybe I might have some question. But any recommendation from your side in terms of which ones I can just pick for now? I'm going to do my source of funds, which I will sort it out working with a lender. And then I'm going to obviously pick a real estate agent. But I was just holding on to that because I haven't decided on which location. So maybe, you know, once I pick the location, then I could go search for the right realtor there.
So one thing that I'm going to suggest you do is that once you've chosen an area, come on the Q&A call and ask the question. You can even post it in the chat. I'm looking for a referral for, you know, an agent in such and such an area. And you'll get a response. And if you don't, I'll give you a response on the Q&A calls. But the Q&A calls is the time to get all your questions answered and get it done. And then that way you can get the contacts that you need.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. That's helpful. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. So I hope we got to answer the questions that you needed help with.
And I'll have to tell you, you know, the lot of tips you had in the website itself kind of gave me the awareness and the reference of the books you gave. I started from there, actually. I even have the, you know, the real estate investing in Canada. So I kind of went through this and, you know, the rich dad, poor dad and all that. So then I thought, okay, I am ready. And since you gave me the knowledge, I thought, you know, I'll start working with you. And it was a surprise. I didn't expect, you know, you kind of connecting with me on a one-on-one. So it was a pleasant surprise when I saw that email. And then I'm like, okay, I'm going to talk to him, right? Because you played a critical role in terms of getting me engaged into this. So definitely, you know, I'm really delighted and overwhelmed, you know, connecting and talking to you. But one question, it kind of, you know, why I didn't kind of jumped into Durham REA right away was I wasn't sure if Durham REA was only specific to this region or was it broader, right? So I had to do some more research to kind of, you know, see if should I, is this worth the money and all that, right? So then I am like, okay, you know what, let's first go get experience and then, you know, do all this analysis later. So let's get started. But that's still a question to me. So is most of your conversations and focus is around this region or is it outside too?
I would say that like in the formative years, it was that in the beginning. But I would say that in the last few years, it's been about 50%, maybe about the Durham area and mostly you know, we've been expanding. We have members across Canada, right? So I have members in Vancouver, Alberta, Quebec. So like there's, we've got members all over the place. So it's quite different than it was before. It's very much an education platform for, you know, people who are investing in other places. It's more about the fundamentals of real estate investing. Right. And not necessarily the where, it's the how. Right. And because we can all figure out the where for ourselves and everybody's where is going to be different. But the how and you know, all the other pieces come together through the Q&A calls, the meetings and just the connections that you make.
Absolutely. No, that helps. And I personally like the way you your title goes, right? Chief Education Officer. So that's something, you know, I actually liked, you know, about your profile itself, to be honest.
Oh, well, good. I'm glad that you enjoyed that. All right.
Thank you, sir.
So we'll see. Our next meeting is on March 10th. So we'll see you at that the March 10th meeting then. You'll get some information by email.
Okay. Absolutely. Looking forward for that. Thank you. Take care. Have a nice evening. Bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to my conversation with our new member. I hope you got some valuable information out of it. If you would like to create wealth, freedom, and security through real estate investing, make sure to check out educationrei.ca. Until next time, I'm Quinton D'Souza. Get out there and take action.